Brilliance Audio.
Say Her Name by Ryan Carter and Dridase Mitchell. Performed by Ajwa Ando. Prologue. Hope, Amina, Cheryl, Veronica. Hope, Amina, Cheryl, Veronica. Hope, Amina, Cheryl, Veronica. Chapter 1. I stare down into the cold, cold grave. Scalding tears burn my face. Grief heavy in my heart. I'm still in a state of shock. Still can't believe it. Mummy is dead, and today we're laying her to rest. There's a terrible chill inside me that leaves me frozen. It has nothing to do with the icy wind dancing through the graveyard. What shivers inside me is guilt. Guilt that while I'm burying Mummy, I can't stop thinking about my other mother. I feel a hard pride that so many people have turned out to celebrate Mummy Cherry's life through her death. Then again, this is how things are done in London's Caribbean community. People turn out to pay their respects when you're living, pay their respects when you're dead. The crowd of mourners is so dense they resemble a black scarf wound tight around me, as if offering shelter so that I can bear my sorrow. The atmosphere changes. Their voices pressing in on me as they start to serenade my beloved mother on her way with song. Their voices are beautiful, uplifting, bringing fresh tears. I close my eyes for a time, letting their swaying voices soothe my pain. In the midst of the singing, some members of Mummy Cherry's church shout out, giving thanks and praise. Religion isn't my thing, but these lyrics of hope, these shouts of redemption carried on the breeze, give me comfort. They are the balm I need to start the process of coping with my loss. Either side of me are the emotional rocks in my life. Joe, my husband, and Sugar, the only father I've ever known. Carlton Sugar McNeil stands out among the crowd of mourners, but then he would in any gathering. Even in mourning, he is a magnificent man to behold. He is over 6 feet tall, with a well-toned physique and timeless brown skin, despite the fact that his next birthday is the big 6-0. I take his strong hand, pulling the rough flesh of his palm close to mine. For a second or two, he sinks into the warmth of my support. Then he gently tugs his hand away, leaving mine exposed, defenseless in the cold. I'm not offended or surprised by his action. Sugar's a man who uses his own feet to stand, no one else's backbone but his own to bear his burdens. Joe clasps my other hand and squeezes. My husband is the opposite of my dad. He blends easily into a crowd. When I first met Joe, he admitted with a saucy smile, "I'm just an ordinary white guy from comfortable suburbia. I'm not different, I'm not special, I'm not like you." But when you've had a hellish early childhood like mine, you appreciate the attractions of a man who'll never bring trouble to your door. Joe, having never been to a Caribbean funeral before, appears uncomfortable in the midst of this open spiritual display of emotions. He whispers, "You okay?" I nod, but the truth is I'm not. Now my second mother is laid to rest. My first is closer than ever. This woman has haunted my life. Sometimes I sense her, feel her, and become aware of a different scent in the air, the special scent of my wedding day or the moment I qualified as a doctor. Other times, I feel a scary gulf of emptiness, where she's too far away for me to reach her, which is the case now. Sometimes I freeze in public thinking I've caught a fleeting glimpse of her.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?